hearing about and reading
about.
It's
showtime, folks. Enjoy the show.
We're delighted to have you with us. They're driving theater.
You'll find something to please you to add to your evening's enjoyment.
It's pleased to bring you our Fifi feature presentation.
Yo, 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 yo. What's up, dudes? What's up, Vince? What's up, Johnny? Already in the comments there. We are tuned in. It is Monday night. It is 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. You are tuned into the Drive-In Speaker Box right here on whatever famous podcast platform you love or whatever streaming service you choose to watch us on live or the replay. We're here and we're happy to have a really fun show for you guys lined up for tonight. So as always, I'm your host, Bo, the boom operator.
And I'm Jake, the grip.
And it's another week of pandemic movie news. It's all these movies are being made and none of them are getting released in the theaters, and studios are fighting and platforms are arguing and everybody's wanting your money, and we're just sitting here trying to figure out how our show is going to change.
Yeah. You know? Real quick, I got to address this. Johnny said that he thought I'd be wearing a Sting shirt because Sting just debuted in AEW, talking about entertainment that does keep going.
How old is Sting now?
Don't worry about it, man. He's the icon, right?
Is that his name now? Is that his wrestling name?
No, that's like the moniker.
Because he can't. Sting is probably property owned by WCW, right?
No. He's still Sting. Sting is him. Steve Borden is Sting.
Okay, so what is the icon? Is it like when he became the Crow for a while?
No, just like that's like his thing, you know.
Is he still like the Crow version of Sting, or is he back to like the Ultimate Warrior version of Sting?
Well, so
Ultimate, or is he like a hybrid of the two?
Ultimate Warrior Crow. And Sting used to be a tag team, man. And Ultimate Warrior at that time was called the Dingo Warrior. Surfer Sting is generally the name given to the colorful blonde haired Muscle Beach Sting.
Yeah,
that teamed up with RoboCop.
That was my Sting growing up.
And then,
When he turned into the Crow, I was like, this is kind of weird, even though I was super into the Crow.
Yeah, but it was super rad. Yeah. No, so Sting's been in WCW after he went to TNA, and then after years and years and years of never going to WWE, he did. He had like two matches and was injured in both of them. And now he's in AEW, but I don't have a Sting shirt.
Sounds like you need to remedy that.
I guess so, man, but Surfer Sting was the coolest. If I got a Sting shirt, I'd get a Surfer Sting shirt. It's just that Sting was never, like, my guy.
Like, but I thought all wrestlers were your guy.
Yeah, well, I do like wrestling, but I was a WCW guy, for sure, Hogan was my dude, so... I liked NWO until the split. I never liked Wolfpack. I'm that black and white, not that red and black. You know what I'm saying?
You didn't like the Wolfpack?
No, I hated it. Well. Absolutely hated it. But, interesting to see what's going to happen there with Sting and AEW now.
So. Well, getting caught up in the comments. Hello, out to counter example. Johnny Dalton asked, they were called the Blade Runners, right?
Probably. Yeah, that sounds about right.
And Vince over on Twitch says, I guess the movie theaters will just be Halloween stores now, one studio executive said in response to Warner Brothers' HBO Max move, cold-blooded. That brings us to one of the big things we wanted to talk about tonight.
Oh, we're getting into it already?
Let's just jump into the news.
Let's do it, okay.
One of the big highlights we were going to talk about, it happened right after our show last week. When Warner Brothers made the big announcement of just their whole 2021 lineup getting dumped on HBO Max. And, you know, the interesting thing is like, that's a lot of movies. You know, there's a ton of movies that Warner Brothers...
They initially said it was going to be just their DC movies. Exactly. And then they were like, how about all of them?
Warner Brothers release. But here's where it gets interesting and tricky, because there are a handful of, Warner Brothers didn't make all of those movies. I think that's another thing, you know, not to shift gears and get in... Well, actually to shift gears and get into the educational portion of the Drive-In Speaker Box, where...
you know, for those of you that don't know, I actually have a background working in the film industry before I opened up a bar, which of course in a pandemic was a real smart move. But I do have a lot of behind the scenes experience in large Hollywood productions. And, you know, the kind of behind the scenes things is a lot of the things that you see on NBC, ABC, you know, Discovery Channel or Warner Brothers or Disney, they're not made specifically by the Warner. Those are large studio and distribution houses that kind of help get these smaller productions into the light of day. So, for example, Legendary Pictures, who was responsible for Dune, and I believe that the Godzilla franchise, which is set to have the Godzilla versus King Kong, which is set to make a lot of money.
Yeah, they already have the toys out. The toys are out. They've been out there for a while.
And Legendary is furious at this move for HBO Max because they were not consulted. And for movies like Godzilla and Dune, you know, Legendary put forth 70% to 75% of the funding to get these movies produced, whereas Warner Brothers contributing their 25% and then getting distribution rights. And a lot of those contracts and those deals that they make, a lot of the actors, a lot of the cast members, a lot of people in the production side that aren't with Warner Brothers have deals in where they get percentage point, they call them points, on the back end of how well it performs in its theatrical run. And so, you know, say you had an actor sign on and say, okay, I'm gonna do this movie for X number of dollars, but I also want a point and a half on the back end of the theatrical run, and they agree to do this movie. Well, say Warner Brothers goes, well, we're gonna put on HBO Max, and then that person is shortchanged a whole lot of potential income that they were supposed to get off of the dealings of that film. So places are getting really pissed because it's not Warner Brothers' decision to do that. That's why movies and creative content is so tricky these days, because you just can't just go, well, it all goes to the thing we own. And, you know, Warner Brothers is pocketing all
those
the
words.
Yeah, it says, well, we're going to push this to the things we own. That's how I want to punch everybody in the face, like corporate CEO voice, because they're half, most of the time, they're just like some grandson of a grandson of a grandson who was a, you know, some. You know what was the movie, The Skulls, about that fraternity in Yale that like just spanked each other and got in trouble because they ended up killing a kid, and it was like The Skulls is like a 90s comedy. Somebody in the comments help me out. But you know, it's just like money begats power, and these people don't have any education in like real world stuff. They're just rich and people listen to them for whatever reason. Vince says yes, it was The Skulls. And, you know, they're out there just, well, as long as it benefits me, then what's the problem? And the problem is you guys don't think, like, these people are not thinking about the overall effect. And the customer has been so shielded from the means of production to the means of consumption that they don't understand what they're hurting by going, well, I mean, I get to have it in my home. That's good, right?
Yeah. And so if you log on to your HBO Max account through your mobile app or whatever, the first thing that's there is a big window that says, hey, enjoy Wonder Woman on Christmas Day for free. Thanks for having HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even bother going to the theater. Stay at home. And that kind of sucks because our local AMC, the one closest to us, has cut down to only 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. They were at 5 days. They're now only at three, which is the weekend only. And when I checked their listings for this week, they had two movies, which were both like classics, like $5 films or whatever, mm-hmm. and a rent your own theater for up to 20 people maximum.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. That's all the movies they have.
You know.
They have a choose your own adventure and two movies you've seen before.
And, you know, people are like, well, I don't want to go to the theater to see something I've already seen before. And it's scary and not safe. And I know we've covered it on the show already before. It's the safest place you can go. It's way safer than going to Walmart to buy your DVD copy of whatever movie that you want to see. Trust
me. Back to the Future in the Bargain. Empire Strikes Back in the Bargain.
Johnny on YouTube comments, he says, it would be like taking Empire Strikes Back to the Walmart DVD bargain bottomless pit before it hits theaters. And yes, you know, that's a good example, because you can't, you know, these movies, the ecosystem of public theaters and just the viewing experience of going to a theater, you know, I this is something that we've talked about a lot here on the show, about the experience of films and the importance of that experience of having, the theatrical experience versus the home theater. It's like a lot, you know, the magic is created in the theater, and then you get to watch it at home and go, oh man, but you're kind of reliving that magic of the theater while it's a slightly different experience. And if you're just like churning through everything on your TV, it becomes less impactful. It becomes less, it just becomes less. It's just less overall. And, you know, we got to save these theaters, man. We got to help them out. There's a petition online to have a you know, a Save the Theaters bill passed. There's a 1,001 like Save the Whatever's trying to be passed. But if I'm going to make a call to action here on all 12 of our listeners right now, I'm going to say check out the Save the Theaters petition. It's an independent theater association owner or something another .org. And then the Restaurant Act. Both of those are, I think, paramount. They're two. Entertainment and hospitality are two of the most neglected industries right now that need the most help. Because they're the ones that have been carrying the stigmata of this pandemic since the beginning, and they're not really getting any assistance. So, you know, don't just take the easy way and go, well, if I could see Wonder Woman in the comfort of my own home for signing my contract with Disney Plus for the rest of eternity and getting all these sub-micro subscriptions, it's bait. It is bait to get you hooked into a new model that only benefits them. That's what it is. And once they get you not necessarily used to it, but acclimated to it, it's just like returning things. Companies know that most people are gonna, if they buy something online, are not gonna go through the trouble of returning it. And they factor this in. And this is no different. They're like, well, once they got it, I mean, we already got their money, so what's the big deal? Mm-hmm. You know? And are all these shitty flavors of name your own chip or cookie or candy bar that's like, yeah, it may taste like salty dick butt, but you know, we'll put it out there, they'll buy it, and who cares, we'll make another one next month. And they'll be like, well, joke's on you, you shouldn't have bought that flavor, you know. And people have gotten to the point where like, well, I mean, they got their money, at least I tried it. And we when we get rid of these theaters, when we get rid of these independent restaurants, these independent stages and bars and all of the stuff that goes into this, they will not come back. There's not going to be this magical spring back that happens overnight where all these people that were just sitting on millions of dollars of life savings through the pandemic were like, oh, hooray, it's over, let's start a business again. And no, we gotta hold on to them. This is totally different. But anyway, Legendary Pictures is pissed. That's where that soapbox was going. So fuck a lot of Warner Brothers.
Hey, but talking about Warner Brothers and at-home entertainment, something that happened just within the last few days that up until just a few weeks ago was still just up in the air, is never going to happen. Lord of the Rings is available on 4K, y'all. At home. Also, Total Recall is now on 4K tomorrow, as of tomorrow. But you know what? I watched that in the movie theater, and I don't think it would be the same at home. It was fun to see in the theater. So
I don't think old movies need to be converted to 4K.
You can think that all you want, because I like it. I think it's super rad.
I don't think it's...
And they updated Lord of the Rings to have full Dolby Atmos, bro. What you know about that?
I mean, I guess.
Now I want the theatrical release of Lord of the Rings in 4K with Dolby Atmos. That way I can go to the theater and relive Lord of the Rings again.
Okay. I mean, if that's what you need to do, then 4K. Okay, Grandpa, wake me when it's on 20K. Wake me when it's VR, tapped into my brain. You remember that movie Virtuosity, where they put that like spider thing on your head and then you'd have the memories of someone else, and people traded them like underground black market VHS tapes. You're like, oh, yo, here's a memory of some dude murdering some other dude, and you're like, oh, dude, I want to watch this one. And I think it was Virtuosity. Strange Days. Strange Days. Virtuosity was a different movie. Strange Days was about a New Year's. Took place on New Year's Eve, and did it have Angelica Houston in it? I can't remember. I don't know. Strange Days. That's actually a really good movie. Some fun science fiction there. Johnny Dalton says someone is selling bootleg Blu-rays of Song of the South on Facebook Marketplace. There's going to be bootleg everything. And you know what? I'm pretty sure nobody restored Song of the South in 4K. But, you know, is that something that we need? The answer's probably no.
Whatever. I don't know why you hate on 4K so much, man. I think the 8K thing might be a bit out of hand whenever that starts happening. Because
8K, pump the brakes when it's 8K.
Well, because your face has to be this close for your human eye to register the difference between the two. And that
and that's what they said back when video games were 16-bit. No, there's just no way that the human brain can even handle Sonic the Hedgehog. And anyway, Carl Brown says, that was an episode of Star Trek. Yeah, it's also a pretty good movie. Vince says, I get Strange Day and Virtuosity confused with Johnny Mnemonic. Johnny Mnemonic is awesome and worth a revisit, even though megabytes, gigabytes, kilobytes have all scaled since that short book. It was based off of a short story. I want to say Philip K. Dick wrote that one. And it's got Takeshi Kitano in it, which is really great. And okay. I think it also has Ice Cube as like a weird kangaroo person.
Okay, so Beat Takeshi and Ice Cube are in a Philip K. Dick story turn.
Starring Keanu Reeves. And it's actually a really good pinball machine as well. Johnny Mnemonic. That's a sleeper 90s hacker sci-fi.
Beat Takeshi is in Johnny Mnemonic?
Yeah, he doesn't speak any English and he's the bad guy. Because, you know, in all of that like early 80s to early 90s cyberpunk literature that was being written, you know, it's all the global economy is kind of basically run by the Japanese. And you know, they're salaryman and corporations, you know, new yen was always the currency or credits if they went to that.
Speaking of cyber Keanu Reeves and future Japan stuff, Cyberpunk 2077 is supposed to actually be out tomorrow.
What? Yeah.
So then you can see your Johnny Silverhand.
You got your Johnny Silverhand.
Yeah.
Right there. That? We'll have to bust.
That's supposed to be a real thing that exists in the real world tomorrow.
We'll have to find a place for him. Actually, you know where the place needs to. We'll put him in place of our Gremlins Advent calendar once we start opening that, which we're going to open the first.
December. It's December.
We're going to open our first week of the Gremlins Advent calendar tonight on the show.
You know what? I need to know what Star Trek episode Carl's talking about because they implant Klingon rage feeling memories into people. I don't recall this episode unless it's something cool. That's in like Discovery that I've never watched.
I don't want to watch Discovery, but I don't, if it has a cool Strange Days.
Well, episode. And their Klingons aren't real Klingons, so I mean it doesn't really matter. But if there's something cool Trek that involves Klingons and I don't know about it, that's a problem because
cool Trek.
Yeah, you know Klingons are my thing, man. That's
Klingons are your thing.
NBA player space samurai guys.
What?
They're 8 feet tall.
Not all of them.
Yeah, they're supposed to be. Not Alexander because he's a wuss, or Gowron because he's a punk. But they're like all like 7-8 feet tall space samurai. Nothing's cooler than Klingons, man.
Except for a lot of other aliens in
Star Trek. Were any other aliens Doc Brown?
I mean, no.
There you go.
Well, okay, fine. Anyway, let's see. Johnny Dalton says, I rewatched the DS9 episode, The Visitor. I could not stop crying. Nana Visitor or The Visitor?
is that the one where Loxana shows up and she's getting everyone all like...
emoted out.
Hot and bothered up and she's trying to touch on Odo?
She's trying to touch on everybody.
That's just Loxana.
And she gets real hot on Odo. The whole show, she's like, what could you do with that morphing wiener?
Yeah, come here, goopy boy.
Yeah, she's all about it. She's like, so you can morph your bits? And it's like a real kind of that was pretty uncomfortable, if you ask me. And, and then, anyway.
Not as uncomfortable as that girl that's like massaging Jake Sisko's head all the time, making him write and like stories.
Oh, yeah, that one was weird.
Yeah, and she's like feeding off of his creative creativity, energy.
Creative juice. Ugh. Carl says, nah, it was Voyager. B'Elanna Torres bumps into some guy and wants to kill him. And the contraband. I remember this episode now. Yeah, and they were selling, they had eliminated bad thoughts, and they were selling bad thoughts to experience bad thoughts. And then, yeah, they were like, ooh, yo, this Klingon anger is tight. And they were trading it all around. You're right. I remember that.
Well,
episode.
I need to rewatch that because B'Elanna was the coolest. Johnny said it was episode three of season 4. Oh, with Tony Todd as old man Jake Sisko, and it's the saddest thing ever because he just wants to rescue his dad
and he can't,
and then he dies. Doesn't he like kill himself or something?
No, I don't think it gets that dark. But I think he straight up dies.
DS9 gets dark.
DS9 does get pretty dark. But anyway, enough about Star Trek.
No, there's never enough about Star Trek. Welcome to the Star Trek podcast.
Oh, man. Other news. I don't even know if we needed to keep talking. I mean, what news we need to talk about? Oscar Isaac got cast to be Solid Snake in a Metal Gear Solid movie, which I don't
absolutely
understand
hate it.
Why that's even necessary.
So Snake is a character based off of Snake Plissken,
yes,
which is Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell.
And Oscar Isaac is not Kurt Russell.
No, no one is Kurt Russell.
And I don't, yeah, no. Just no. You, no.
I don't understand why we're making a Metal Gear Solid movie. The games aren't that good.
Probably because it still has nothing to do with what's-his-name that created it at all, and Konami probably still has rights to it, and they're just selling everything they can.
We're just so bottom thirsty for new movie ideas, no movies can really get filmed right now.
Well, that's like the Monster Hunter movie. Like, quit making video game movies.
Yeah.
Stop. Don't do it. Because
just make video games.
Have you seen the Chinese trailer for Monster Hunter?
Well, have you heard that they pulled the movie from China because there's a couple of insensitive racial comments in the movie?
In Monster Hunter?
In Monster Hunter.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
That was in the news this week.
In the Chinese trailer before they got rid of it, I guess, they eliminated all of the scenes that showed that they were from modern times and transported back to the future back to the past of some Monster Hunter world, because there's no need to do that to make them like modern military that finds their way there. They just made it look like the game. It's like, oh, that could be neat.
That could be it.
But really, you're going to show up and they're driving Jeeps and they have drones and it's stupid.
Speaking of video game movies, in the comments, Johnny Dalton says, can we not get an Oregon Trail movie? And to honestly,
you watch it for 5 minutes and it's like everyone died of dysentery. The credits roll.
Honestly, what if it was like that movie Better Tomorrow or whatever with Tom Cruise, where he keeps getting killed? It's kind of like the Groundhog Day, sci-fi Groundhog Day, and it's about this family trying to travel, and it's just one of them is aware of what's going on, and it's like
what was that movie called?
I thought it was like, it wasn't Better Tomorrow,
no,
was it? It was
that's not it at all.
It was called something.
Johnny asked if we reviewed The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. In fact, we did. I think that was still
Edge
when
of
we
tomorrow.
Were. Yeah, there it is.
Edge
I think
of tomorrow.
That's when we were still on FM radio when we talked about Buster Scruggs, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were still on the radio. Yeah, we were on 88.3 FM back then when we were.
Yeah, and Logan coming in with the international title. Live, Die, Repeat, was just used as the tagline for the American
release. Honestly, I think, hear me out. I'm sure we're going to get this movie now that I've said it, and someone's going to analyze my voice, and they're going to take it. Warner Brothers is going to steal it. But you think about it. It's like this pioneer family, and they're like the one member of the family, probably like the rough and tumble, like girl with a disability or something, but she's still edgy and trying to show her worth in the family, who's our lead character, right? And she's aware of what's going on. And
played by Saoirse Ronan.
Of course, played by Saoirse Ronan, because she's already got the frontier vibe going. And then they're on this journey west. And they, you know, of course, the whole family dies of dysentery, and she's like in her last memory, she sees it, and she's like watching the chaos, and then she wakes up, and it's like the morning before they leave, and she's like, what the hell? And then they, you know, their wheel comes off, and they float down the river and hit a rock, and they all die, and in her last moment, she remembers the dysentery thing, and she's like, oh, wait a second. She wakes up, and it happens again, and like, oh my gosh, and she's out there hunting for a deer for food, and she goes, wait a second, I gotta remember about the wheel. And then it plays out a whole bunch of times where everybody dies a bunch, and then Saoirse Ronan like fixes everything, and she's the savior of the family, and she knew about it from the time loop that got him through the Oregon Trail.
But what's
Oregon Trail video game movie?
What's the end of the movie? They just reach Oregon, and she's like, well, cool, that was a good time, and
that's the big game.
It's over.
Yes, exactly. It's just like end credits. She made it end credits, and then she dies of dysentery, or she can't vote, or
yeah.
something.
Well, and Logan said starring Vin Diesel, he can be her dad or something like that.
Yeah. I'm down. Vince says there was an Oregon Trail movie in 1959. No, it can't predate the video game. This has got to be based on the video game, not actual events, video game. So, anyway, all right. That was some news. Oscar Isaac. What else did I took a couple of notes. Oh, Plastic Man is confirmed being headed to the screen, big screen. But Plastic Man is now a Plastic Woman, and they're going to
what?
I knew that you would love this news. I'm just going to open another beer while you...
Why would you change anything about Plastic Man? He's the...
Yeah, let it all out, man.
I'm hurt.
Let it all out.
Why would you ever alter anything about Plastic Man at all? He's perfect.
I agree. He's a fantastic character. Bad guy, bank robber, turned hilarious, wisecracking, stretcho guy.
He can survive anything because he's insane and Plastic Man, and he can turn himself into whatever.
Well, and I think that's the weird thing that maybe, I don't know if the executives that made this decision don't realize.
Is it Zooey Deschanel? Oh, that man. Would be funny.
Or, quirky. Honestly, wow, crap, I can't believe I forgot her name. I think the only person that could play Plastic Man that I'd accept is, what is her name? Shit. She's like the dead-eyed, sarcastic, angry girl that's in everything lately. You say words while I look her up, because I'm going to have to
say some words.
Yeah.
Logan came in with a funny comment about Vin Diesel standing for vehicle identification number. And
Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, yeah. Well, real quick, Johnny mentioned Mario Lopez going to be in that KFC mini movie on Lifetime about...
Oh, that was another thing I was going to talk about, the Mario Lopez
Colonel Sanders
recipe for romance or whatever it's called. Yeah, okay, everybody in the comments, Aubrey Plaza, because I just quickly reached over to my laptop and Googled actress that is weird and awkward, and it was like Aubrey Plaza. And Aubrey Plaza could pull off Plastic Man and also my girlfriend. So taking applications for Aubrey Plaza to be my girlfriend. So the KFC mini movie, which I guarantee you it's only going to be like 10 minutes long, 15 minutes. Everyone's like, oh, I can't wait to watch it. And this is the most absolute brilliant marketing campaign that a fast food company, like KFC, is not in good place right now. They're doing really good overseas, but their American market, they're quickly losing grip on.
One of ours in town closed.
Just closed, yeah. And, you know, for the finger-licking good brand.
It's real bad where in Northwest Arkansas you can't keep a chicken restaurant open.
Dude, yeah, you know the pandemic is bad. But, you know, just like the KFC Yule log that sends flavors and smells of KFC through your house and all the other fun KFC, like KFC has taken a page out of the Domino's and Wendy's and Arby's playbook, and it's just like, look, let's just go ahead and make fun of ourselves. Let's get weird. Let's get ridiculous because jokes online sell.
It's, yeah, dude, Arby's and Wendy's social media teams are tops.
Oh, Johnny Dalton asked, remember when RoboCop was the colonel? Yeah, there's actually a couple of, I think, Korean or Japanese television commercials where RoboCop is selling Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they're genius. I think you can YouTube search RoboCop KFC and pull that one up. McLean says, I am all for this KFC movie. The romance novel that came out a couple years back was great. You know, I think that the KFC embracing the absurd is really what brands have to do to survive now, because people don't care about products anymore. They don't care about quality. They don't care about whatever. As long as it's funny and everybody else is doing it online, then they're going to do it too. And I think Birdemic was, or what was the, not Birdemic, the Bird Box or Box Birds or whatever that's.
Yeah, that movie was.
Stupid movie with, you know. Yeah, I don't even want to talk about that movie. But that was a good example of, like, if everybody else online is clicking it and laughing at it, then I'm going to do it too, even if it costs me money. Yeah, Bird Box. Thanks, Vince.
Vince posted a clip, and I can't figure out.
The trailer?
Look at it. No, the Headstrong Real Stork Dat Boy. Hmm. I don't know of a way for us to watch the clip while we're doing this, because we are producerless again.
Yeah, producer's
today.
Not here. We only have a second cam, and it points at this. That's our second cam tonight. Just fun, calming. It's almost like a Yule log, a static TV, our neon flickering popcorn light, two lava lamps, and us.
You got the Invisible Man.
That's not Invisible Man. Yeah, oh, yeah, he's up there at the top. I thought you were talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No, you got Gollum. You got the Flasher Gremlin coming in time for Christmas. You got colorized us. We got Leia.
Yeah, we just need a 10-hour loop of both of our static TVs, our lava lamps and flicker bulbs, mm-hmm. and then just like soundtracks playing all, and that'll be our YouTube channel. Is like lo-fi film scores you can study and relax to. Mm. That's gonna be.
Also, Vince clipped me going, "What?" Just put that on repeat.
Let's see. Ian says KFC is a big Japanese tradition every Christmas. That is true. So, yeah, we talked about that.
KFC is huge in Japan. In fact, there is a Colonel Sanders statue that acts as kind of like a secondary mascot for a Japanese baseball team. And they had a losing streak after someone pushed it into a river that it was nearby. And they recovered the statue, put it back in place, and that team started to win again. KFC has a lot of tradition and superstition in Japan, and it's a big brand over there.
It's finger-licking good baseball as well as chicken or whatever sport that they want to do.
Johnny said Michael Keaton's already Ray Kroc. And so there's a fast food shared universe in the making somewhere.
It's coming, man. It's going to be the Titans of fast food.
Justice League.
Wendy is going to come out. Or would it be Wendy or would it be Dave Thomas from Wendy's? Or would it be both? They're like a power team.
Yeah. Like a Master Blaster situation.
Or like old Dave Thomas, kind of like in Legend of Tomorrow, the fire guy. It's like the old professor, and then all of a sudden he goes, and it's like Wendy. And yeah. Wendy's got all these magic powers but can only sustain for so long. And then he turns back down into Dave Thomas and is like frail and meek.
No, Dave Thomas was the coolest, man.
But he got old. I mean, he was tied to this mortal coil, not like Wendy, who was an immortal creature of
Wendy's
Patty
one of his
goodness.
Daughters.
I know, but she's been immortalized in cartoon fashion form, and in our brains and hearts and palates,
they
she's always
like,
been young.
Like all of these people that do, like all these weebs and what's that site where people draw stuff?
All of them? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember what it's called.
The Draw Stuff website?
Yeah, there's one like DeviantArt.
Yeah. No, you said
people take all
the website where like sad goth people that can't watercolor very well draw pictures of elves in their Warcraft avatars.
Yeah.
That website.
Yeah, but people take all these fast food mascots and like turn them into, like anime characters or whatever.
Yeah, Carl says 100% a meme with Avengers as the fast food characters would sell. I'm telling you, you got Ronald McDonald and his. That would be like, they couldn't quite be the Avengers. That would be like the Defenders. Ronald McDonald has his own superhero team because they've already established that. And you've got the King from Burger King with the head. He's already pretty cool. You got Colonel Sanders rolling in.
What if Jack in the Box did like Sailor Moon, like, you know, like poses and stuff?
What's Jack in the Box mascot? I thought it was just a box.
No, it's Jack in the Box. It's the dude with the big white head and the cone nose.
Oh, that's right. The clown, the Jack.
Yeah.
Johnny Dalton says, who would play the Burger King? You'd never know because his head would be just the king. It could be anybody.
Yeah, have you not seen
like the
commercials and played those video games? Burger King already has like a well-established extended universe.
And they do Captain D, but nobody eats there anymore. I haven't had Captain D's. I miss those little crispy.
As we say, Long John Silver comes in and just murders Captain D.
Long John Silver would be a bad guy. Long John Silver and Captain D would be bad guys. I think
Long John Silver is a bad guy.
I know,
haven't
but
you ever seen Treasure Island?
Well, yes. I'm just talking about in this fast food movie universe.
He was Tim Curry, and he hated the Muppets.
No, you can't hate the Muppets, even if you're Tim Curry.
Yeah, that's immediately the version of Treasure Island I go to.
Dude, didn't you see the Muppets?
Yeah,
dude, Kermit was totally awesome in Treasure Island. I'm trying to think of any other big fast food icons that could be a part of this. Justice League. I don't know. We covered it. We covered it, guys. We covered it. John Oliver is trying to find out what the Pringles character's body is like. Is that really the investigative reporting that we need? Is the rest of the body to the Pringles guy head?
Maybe he's just an orb with butt cheeks on the back of it.
like our Slimer over there.
Yeah, like Slimer that's dummy thick on the backside.
Oh, Johnny Dalton says Mac Tonight. I think Mac Tonight would have to be on the bad guy team because he's like maybe the dark nefarious McDonald's person that's like the enemy of Ronald McDonald, and he sits up on his moon base playing blues and happening in the nightlife and be like, I'm gonna take over this Mac universe, Mac Tonight. And he like plays his blues jams, and then he has his minions of like bouncers and bodyguards that are all out of work because the restaurant and bar industry is closed.
What's the name of the lady that's on the Popeyes commercials? Just have her come in.
I don't know. I don't watch Popeye's commercial. I just thought they said, "Hey, we have a chicken sandwich," and everyone's like, "Ah!" And I thought that was all Popeye's commercials. No, so they're like, "We're gonna culturally appropriate New Orleans tradition. Howdy, y'all, jambalaya." And you know, and then nothing tastes like Louisiana food at all.
Oh, that's where you're wrong. That's a Louisiana kitchen,
dude. Like, their red beans and rice are trash.
Popeye's Louisiana kitchen.
Dude, their chicken is good, is decent. Their sides mashed potatoes are trash.
Have you ever had
the biscuits?
Have you ever had their mashed potatoes?
Yes, I've had their mashed potatoes, and I've had a lot of mashed potatoes. I lived in Louisiana. Welcome to the Drive-In
Speakerbox Movie and Fast Food Podcast.
Logan, coming in, shots fired. Chick-fil-A's representative is Mike Huckabee. Or who's the is he even still alive? The guy that ran Chick-fil-A is, he had like a girl's name, is like Florna D. Merriweather or something, who was the founder of
I don't know, but Johnny said churches, and you could have the church lady. I know that's not what he meant, but that's what I'm taking as. And you could have Dana Carvey come out and go, isn't that special?
Here's today's specials.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what we're even talking about anymore. But fast food is something we're both very passionate about.
Yeah, if you've ever seen our show before.
Or the bottom half of our bodies.
There's a reason we sit at the table for this, that we're not doing like a weatherman standing up.
Oh, man. But anyway, we do love our fast food. Anyway, let's move on to something equally as nonsensical and far away from our movie show topics, and open some stuff from our advent calendar.
But that's not far away from movie shows. It's Gremlins. It's a Christmas movie.
Oh, yeah. Made with goo.
Speaking of Christmas movies,
Avec slime.
Remember that Christmas Vacation is showing at multiples of our local theaters, and there's another Christmas classic, and I can't remember what it is. Die Hard showing right now.
Yeah, Die Hard showing right now. Rise of the Guardians, I think, is showing right now, which
that's
is kind
actually
of a weird,
not a
yeah,
bad movie.
It's
though.
A weird choice. I can't believe they brought it out. Christmas Vacation showing right now.
They need to show Hook.
I think they're showing Jim Carrey's Grinch, I think, is back.
I know the animated Grinch, the more
recent
of the two.
Maybe that's the one. Okay,
is
the animated.
In the theater right now, yeah.
So, yeah, get your Christmas movie fix. So anyway, we'll do a little bit of an unboxing here for those of you that just tuned into the audio version of this podcast on your favorite podcast
provider. We'll describe
them
in extreme detail.
Yeah, so for those of you tuned into the live stream on Facebook, Twitch, or YouTube, you can join us right here in the comments live. We broadcast every Monday starting at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. But I picked this up. This is a Gremlins Advent Calendar. 31 days of Gremlin surprises with a pop-up environment pieces, which when you pull the front lid down like this, like the box opens like this, and it has the movie theater where the gremlins sit, and you take your, I think you take your prize out of your day, and then you can put them in the seat here.
Yeah, with all of the movie
all the
theater
movie,
gremlins.
The movie theater gremlins, yeah. Turn that one around and show the audience that package there.
Look at this. You can, and it comes with one gremlin in here, but you can make him look like all of the
all
movie
the movie
gremlins.
It comes with this like,
you think we have too much Gremlins memorabilia?
Dude, Gremlins is
memorabilia.
Memorabilia.
That sounds like a Gremlins song.
It's the theme song.
Yeah.
Was it Jerry Goldsmith? Yeah.
Before we move too far away from the things that are coming in theaters, Vince did just point out that Fathom Events is showing Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon in the movie theater. And unfortunately, that's about really the only big thing that they're showing. I think they have a couple of classics that they're putting in the theater other than that. But right now, even Fathom Events is a little thin on the selection there. But yeah, watching Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, what's that? Chow Yun-Fat's in that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, dude. Michelle Yeoh.
Oh yeah, Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah, she's in that one. Okay, I'm going in. I'm opening up. I think, let's see. Since we only do four episodes in a month, and we've already done one, we need to open at least seven of these. Is that right?
Here, I'll check a real calendar.
What's a calendar, dude? All right, I'm opening up the first day. Oh, look. It's a little tiny gizmo. Look at that. Look at that little tether dog. And they right out of the gate, they're giving you, they're dropping the big guns on number one, little giz.
Got the big guns.
Little gizmo. Like, what's the song that he says?
Big Guns by Skid Row.
No,
yeah.
Not that. I'm just the song that Gizmo makes. He's like.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that what he does?
Yeah, that's exactly what he does, yeah.
I am good at that.
And then everyone whispers, and Phoebe Cates is like, oh, yeah, that's super cool. Maybe I do think you're a cool boy, a goofy guy that drives the Beetle that gets snowed in and doesn't really have a life because you draw and you're a nerd.
Okay, so you...
Is that what we're talking
here's
about?
Here's what we do. You flip up the seats, and then you can put little Gizmo in the first seat. Check it out. Isn't that cool? All right, you want to get day number two?
Oh,
just get in there and get day number two. You gotta. There's like a little divot in there that you can kind of push in and pull out. It's kind of like one of those boxes of macaroni and cheese that don't work.
Look at this.
What'd you get?
I don't know how you get them out.
Carefully, don't force it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. It's Stripe.
What? It's just Gizmo and Stripe, like right out the door. Ah, there we go.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's Stripe before he gets turned into Bad Gremlin. Look at that. Oh, that's his back. There he is, right there.
When he's just, well, yeah, when, well,
I should have set up camera too. Like, here, let me see.
He was always the bad one.
There, can you, I don't know, I'll just hold him.
They're too small.
They're tiny little guys. All right, we got Stripe. That's day number two. Maybe I'll just put them back in their deals because... We're going to close this up and do it next week. So, all right. That was... Oh, we did one and three. Oops.
Where's okay. two?
It goes one, two, three, four. These bounce all the crazy crap around. All right. So, I'm doing day two. We're going to get in there. Okay. This is kind of a cop-out.
It's a tribble.
It's a ball. It's a fuzz ball.
Before it grows into the gremlin.
Yeah, before they grow into the gremlin. But that's actually... Whoever came up with this,
pretty good.
Bold move. That was pretty wise thinking. All right, that was number two. And then so it's a journey. So it was Gizmo. Then Gizmo got wet, popped in, and made Stripe. So maybe this is like a story. So you got to get number four, which I think is
a big one. It's a big door right here.
Uh-oh.
Oh, there's parts to it.
What's in there?
There's like a...
Ooh, the
chrysalis.
Oh, it's the because.
And that's goo.
Okay, we're not gonna open the goo, but you can goo the chrysalis.
Yeah,
that's kind of a weird. That's a weird. Yeah. That's like the bad guy egg. That's not. That's weird. This is pretty cool. This is a pretty cool little advent calendar for giant nerds.
so you.
Johnny Dalton says it's like Polly Pocket size.
And, they are, yeah, like or Mighty Max. Okay, if you were a cool boy instead.
Gonna get in here on number five. What do we got? Okay, this is just a straight up gremlin. I don't know. It looks a little bit like Stripe because he has the angry eyebrows, but he doesn't have his full blown hair. So maybe this is like baby Stripe.
Could be any one of the gremlins.
Yeah, it's just a standard issue gremlin, but very cool little tiny guy. I guess he's what came out of the chrysalis. I see that there's a narrative here. We're going to put number five.
Oh, since it's in the movie theater, do you think that there will be a Hulk Hogan in here?
I hope so. There better be the girl gremlin in here. So you're getting the projection booth.
From the second movie? Oh, here we go.
Johnny says, gremlin's like a metaphor for the COVID pandemic. Yes, it is.
Full blown
evil. Stripe. Evil. The mohawk is there. It's ready. Yeah, hold that one up
somebody,
for the camera.
Somebody got... wet.
He's wet and fed. And yeah, you don't feed him after midnight. Yeah, that's the problem. Wet makes another one. Feeding him makes him bad. And so he was okay. And then...
Was he the one that the science guy took and he ate the sandwich?
No,
Or the candy bar?
Maybe it was. Yes, it was. And then they all got into a bucket of chicken. That what's his face left. Vince says if you go to the product page on GameStop, it shows you everything that's in it before you open it. Well, we don't know. Don't be cheating. Don't be out there that Googling.
That is kind of lame, but
everybody wants spoilers. Let's don't. We didn't hear you say that. All right, number seven. Opening up the last one for the week. We've got, oh, perfect. The drive-in speaker box gremlin with the 3D glasses. Yeah, check him out right there. He's the and he's got the 3D glasses on.
Oh, is there going to be a popcorn thing where you can have the one that's inside of the popcorn?
There we go. I'll just dress up like him. Hang on. There we go.
Now you look exactly like the dude from Back to the Future.
Yeah, it's what is his one line?
I don't know. It might be racist. So
probably we can't. I don't think we could say it, but
because they talk mean things to the cousin
They get locked into the trunk. Mm-hmm. And you know, anybody that's ever worn actual old school 3D glasses,
Marvin Berry, that's who he is. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, Chuck's cousin or whatever. He's like, you got to hear this new sound. But anybody that's ever worn these for more than looking at a book that's a 3D or watched an old like Jason, Friday the 13th in 3D or Jaws 3D, I could tell you wearing these for more than
it hurts your eyes.
Sucks. It sucks really bad. But it's a fun prop to have around on the set. So I've always liked the idea of 3D glasses. But there you go, old school 3D glasses. Casey Sismasco was his character's name. Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
I always just thought of him as not Billy Zane. 3D. In the Biff Gang.
3D butthole.
Yeah. He was the dude that wasn't Billy Zane. Because, okay. I mean, hey, there's only one Billy Zane. Man.
There is only one Billy Zane. All right. I'm going to shut the old the doors on our advent calendar. And I'm going to put this back. We're gonna open up seven more next week. Don't Google. Don't get spoilers. Don't find out. You'll have to tune in next week.
Johnny says that the lightning gremlin from Gremlins 2 is his favorite.
That was part two. And the spider
one. We were just talking about from part two. The girl gremlin is from part two.
She was in part one, too.
No.
She was in part one, wasn't she?
No.
Yeah, there was. I thought there was one in the bar. Was there not one, the female gremlin?
No. No.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Huh.
Yeah, the female
when big, they're in the tavern,
the big lips, like the
well, that was in part two.
The takes down the CEO.
I thought that there was like some sort of female gremlin
after
in
Christopher
part one.
Lee does his experimentations.
Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess maybe I'm thinking of the scene where Flasher Gremlin is in the bar and Phoebe Cates is trying to like serve all the gremlins somehow, which I think is ridiculous. Why would she be calm and like going, "I'll get you another beer," and it's like, why are you taking orders from these like non-English speaking crazy little gremlins that are running around going, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Because like, obviously they'll stab people to death if you don't comply with their nonsense.
I guess so.
Unless you have a microwave handy like old dude's mom.
She was the baddest bitch in that whole movie.
Shoved
she
one in the blender and stabbed
a bunch. Them. She was just crazy chopping up gremlins. That scene in the kitchen where she kills all the gremlins, but quite possibly the best scene in that movie. Vince says, my bad, Casey Sismasco is the actor. His character was 3D.
That's
okay,
a sick name.
That makes a little bit more
sense. That would
sense.
Be so such a cool name, and you're like little like 50s gang, like, yo, 3D. And he's like, yeah.
And then he like runs and then hits a pole because he can't see shit out of the glasses. Johnny Dalton says, I still can't believe Dick Miller is gone. Agreed, Dick Miller, classic. He's in Gremlins. He's in everything. He's in Chopping Mall. He's always the angry something or other that gets killed too soon by a monster that he has no business encountering. And he's like, oh, God, this kid's making me mop or, oh, snowplow making me plow. Yeah. This so-and-so making me so-and-so.
His death in Chopping Mall does suck because he is just like doing
trying
his
to
job,
do his job. Yeah. But Dick Miller, man, if you, I mean, that's something you can Google. If you don't know who Dick Miller is, Dick Miller is a classic, and he was just one of those supporting role, always a bit part.
You've seen him in at least 50 movies.
Oh, yeah. You've seen Dick Miller 1,000 times, and he's always the same guy, the angry blue-collar worker that's just like, I can't even believe what's happening here, and then he usually gets killed somehow, and
that's true,
he's always down on his luck and angry at the world.
You know, I watched a countdown list of, like, actors that die in all of their movies,
and like 20 of them were Dick Miller.
No, but he should have been. And Liam Neeson wasn't on the list either because I was like,
he doesn't die though.
I was like,
I mean, Qui-Gon Jinn, obvi, but then he comes back to life as a Jedi ghost.
Star Wars,
he didn't die, he became more powerful than you could possibly imagine.
Krull,
oh, he did die in Krull.
Rob Roy,
Well, that doesn't count.
Batman.
Oh, he was Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah. Pretty sure he dies in The Gray.
I don't remember if he does or not.
Darkman, no, small, he's basically small
soldiers.
Dead.
They were talking about small soldiers, yeah. Yeah, man, I guess I did.
Liam Neeson dies in a lot of movies, I'm telling you.
I guess I didn't realize that. Not as many movies as Sean Bean.
No, Sean Bean was definitely number one. And they're like, oh, big surprise, Sean Bean. Yeah. But I was like, oh, it's going to be Liam Neeson. He dies in everything. But it wasn't. It was Sean Bean. But it turns out Sean Bean.
Oh, Bill Paxton. Johnny Dalton bringing up Bill Paxton. Got to love me some Bill Paxton. I watched
a movie where Bill Paxton died in a theater.
I was quoting Weird Science the other day, too, to a friend of mine that had a hangover, and I was wanting to serve up a cheeseburger in a dirty ashtray. And I was like, what movie's that from? And they're like, what are you even talking about?
You were being a big turd. Is that what you're saying?
I was being a big turd. Yeah.
Yeah. That's worse than dying, being turned into a giant turd.
Yeah.
Chet. That was his. That's his name in that.
Yeah. Chet. It's classic Bill Paxton.
Damn, Weird Science is such a good movie.
I know. I may have to watch that tonight. Near Dark, yeah, Bill Paxton, fantastic movie there. From the comments, Vince says John Hurt died in over 40
yes,
movies. John Hurt does die a lot.
John Hurt is like one of the top like amount of movies that he's died in.
Logan said, GoldenEye's The Cradle collapsed last week.
It did. The satellite. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or not the satellite. The dish mm-hmm.
That's
was
GoldenEye.
Destroyed. Yeah. The one where Sean Bean plummets.
And
yeah.
did you also read that right now on YouTube you can stream all of the James Bond films for free? Little driving speaker box nugget right there if you want to get caught up on your Bond.
Dude, I think
it's 19 of them. I mean, it may not be the last
that's
two.
Not all.
It may not be the last two of them, the ones that are that have what's-his-face in it. But there's the first 19 I think you can stream for free online on YouTube right now.
I'm going to watch Thunderball.
What am I going to watch? No, I'm not going to watch any James Bond right now. I'm gonna go and watch Weird Science, dude.
Maybe I'm just gonna watch all the ones with Jaws.
Yeah. Or I'm just gonna watch.
Yeah, Moonraker.
I'm just gonna watch rules. Happy Gilmore because Jaws is in that.
Yeah. Hey, Shooter.
Should have taken that other dude to Long John Silver's, or no, yeah. It was Red Lobster.
When, hey, the Shooter,
jackass. Yeah. Hey, Shooter. I got a gift certificate to Red Lobster. I'm gonna go.
Yeah, I do like Jaws.
I tried to get you to go to Red Lobster with me, and you were like, no.
What? No, you didn't. You were just like, oh, me and the one homie, not you,
no,
are going to Red Lobster.
I was like, hey, let's go to Red Lobster.
I did not.
And then we were all talking together, and then
there was a talk about it,
Logan
but when
was
it
like,
actually
heck,
happened.
Yeah. And then I sent out comments, and I was like, let's go. Mm-hmm. And then we were all in the same group chat. And then you're like, I don't eat sea creatures. And then
they have spaghetti and chicken fingers.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
They got rid of spaghetti at Long
John
Silver's. COVID.
Minimal menus now, man.
I guess then
you got to get seafood up in there or just be happy with cheddar. They don't do hush puppies. It's Cheddar Bay Biscuits. You're thinking Long John Silver's, not Red Lobster.
I don't eat seafood.
I know you don't eat seafood.
But Red Lobster used to have spaghetti.
They did used to have spaghetti.
So David asked, he says, favorite John Hurt movie, his Altered States. I'm going to have to say Indiana Jones 4. That's a joke,
Indiana
everybody.
Jones
yeah, Crystal
4.
Skull.
I don't.
John
what
Hurt.
Is this movie? I don't remember anything about
yeah.
Indiana Jones 4.
Alien, man.
Alien's so good.
Yeah. He's Alien. The dude that has the chest popper.
Oh,
wait, no, screw that. Spaceballs. No. There we
yeah,
go.
Spaceballs.
Yeah, Spaceballs.
Vince says, Grip's dream would be fish fry and scary movie night. That would be his nightmare. he just does not want to watch anything spooky, anything scary, or have anything to do with fish.
These are true things,
he's
yeah.
Like, nah, dude. But his dream movie would be, what, let me see. It'd be eating Arby's, piles of free Arby's, and watching Thunder in Paradise.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
Oh, can we rent a movie theater and watch Thunder in Paradise? I'll wear an eye patch and I'll be Navy SEAL Hulk Hogan.
I told you.
We should have a group costume and be Thunder in Paradise 1 year. We can be the brothers.
All right. I got to start working out a little bit more.
No, we don't have to. That's going to be the best part.
We're just like schlubby Thunder in Paradise.
Yeah.
Word. Well, all right, guys. Now, before we get derailed way too far off track, our time has come to a close, so we need to wrap this thing up. But we do want to thank everybody for tuning in.
Yeah,
and
I'm real jazzed on Thunder in Paradise.
I know.
Right,
we got him all hyped up. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in. If you want to check out the podcast for this, you can subscribe on Spotify, Tuned In, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Music, Google Music, yada, yada, yada. Or you can keep tuning in right here on your Facebook, Twitch, or YouTube, right here in the stream. You can tune in every week. You can be a part of the show. You can do all the fun stuff. It's easy to do. Just like, look, everybody right there on Twitch, you can find us on Twitch. You can watch us play video games on Twitch.
It's true.
Yeah, you can do all that. So anyway, I'm Bo, I'm the Boom Operator.
I'm Jake the Grip.
And we will see you guys next week.